I want you to turn tonight in God's Word to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. The theme over this past couple of Sunday nights has been at the feet of Jesus, and we come to another character of God's Word, New Testament history, who came to the feet of Jesus, and it's a woman with a sinful heart. It's a marvelous story, story of grace and love, and we want to read it together, trusting that as we read God's Word, God will speak. And then as we come to preach from it, that God will give help to this preacher, just to simply bring out the truths that are expressed here. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, I have somewhat, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. May God take his word, make it a blessing, and write it indelibly upon our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for this history that we've read from the New Testament, the blessing that it has been to us already, for it is thy word and thy truth. We pray that as we look into it a little tonight, that thou wilt be our teacher, that thou wilt help me in my human weakness to bring forth the message. Give us the Holy Spirit, both in the proclamation and in the hearing of thy word. And, O God, we pray that the outcome, the result of this service will glorify God, whatever that might be. It is our earnest plea that sinners will be converted, that God's people will be challenged and blessed. And so we leave the issues now with our God, trusting that he right now will work in every heart, and that none will leave without hearing what God is saying to their heart, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Taking two verses of Scripture just to mention now, but really coming in the course of our message to look at the whole passage, as we deal with a woman with a sinful heart at the feet of Jesus, I want to direct your attention to verse 37 and 38. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. The theme that we have taken these Sabbath nights has been very challenging. There's always a place for all kinds of people, from all kinds of backgrounds, in the midst of all kinds of circumstances, at the feet of Jesus, if they're only willing to come and cast themselves there. We looked at a man with a burdened heart, Jairus by name, who brought the case of his 12-year-old girl, daughter, to Jesus Christ. Last Sunday night, we thought about a woman with a broken heart, the Syrophoenician woman, who again, having a daughter in great need, brought the case of her young daughter to Jesus Christ. And here tonight, we have a woman with a sinful heart. In Luke chapter 7, she comes to the same place, to the feet of the Savior. It is one of the most interesting stories in New Testament history, recorded, incidentally, by the Gospel writer Luke. He's the only one to record this story. It tells us of an unnamed woman from a background of ill repute coming to the blessed feet of the Savior, and she finds pardon, forgiveness, and peace. Who this woman was, we do not know. It is commonly held by some to be Mary Magdalene, but there's no scripture warrant to conclude that this was Mary Magdalene. We read about Mary in the next chapter, in chapter 8 and verse 2. We learn that Mary had been possessed with 7 devils. No mention is made of that here in chapter 7. And so we do feel it was not Mary Magdalene. We don't know who this woman was. Jesus Christ, by personal invitation, enters into the home of a Pharisee. We're told in verse 36 that one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. Here is a man who, though devoutly religious, was unconverted. The Pharisees of our Lord's day were not men who knew the Lord. They belonged to the strictest sect of the Jewish religion. They were certainly more orthodox and doctrinally sound than their counterparts, the Sadducees. But they were, by and large, unregenerate men who lived according to an outward observance of the law and the many man-made traditions that they had conjured up. It was a religion of works. They did not accept Christ as the Messiah. They often opposed him in his earthly ministry. And Jesus himself called them hypocrites. He called them serpents. He called them vipers. He likened them unto whited sepulchres, which appear to be beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Not a very pleasant description that the Savior gives of these men. But that's what they were. Outwardly, they looked the part. Outwardly, they practiced the part of religion, but inwardly, there was nothing but deadness. And they did not know the life of God. They did not certainly know Christ as their Savior. However, there were a number who got converted. And they became Christians, like Nicodemus, of whom we read in John chapter 3, and there were others besides. There were other Pharisees who were kindly disposed to Christ, like the man that we read about here, Simon, in whose house Jesus has come to dine. This religious leader showed more respect than many of his fellow Pharisees, and yet he was profoundly ignorant of the gospel of grace. This Pharisee invited Jesus Christ into his home to give him a meal, to show him hospitality. Jesus accepted the invitation, no doubt with a view to do that family good and to teach them some vital and spiritual truths. That was always the business of Christ. He was always about his Father's business. And whether it was sitting down to eat with the publicans or sitting down to eat with the Pharisees, the same object was in mind, to do them good. Simon's heart was full of pride and prejudice, full of conceit and egotism. He looked down upon this poor sinful woman who came into his home, who was now standing at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked down upon her. He was high and mighty in his religion. His proud heart revolted at the sight of a poor, contrite sinner being allowed to wash the Savior's feet. He had a cold and unfeeling heart. Even his hospitality was cold and stingy. Jesus speaks of this. If you look at verse 44, he turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet." It was the custom in Bible times when you entertained individuals to wash their feet with water. And Simon hadn't done that. "But this woman hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head." In verse 45, "Thou gavest me no kiss." Nothing unusual in Bible countries for men to kiss men. Not really accepted in this country, but it's accepted over in Bible countries. Some of you will be familiar with a man who visits here from time to time from the Middle East. And he will tell you that greeting between men, especially family and friends, men will kiss three times. So it's even more than Spain. Over in Spain you get a kiss on one cheek, a kiss on the other cheek. But over in Lebanon you go back to the cheek that you started with. So nothing unusual for that to be done. It was a greeting. And Jesus says, "This woman, since the time I came in, have not ceased to kiss my feet." In verse 46, he speaks about another custom that was often a practice when one came to your home. "My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." So the hospitality of Simon was cold. This man invited the Lord Jesus into his home to dine, but his hospitality fell short. There was an outward show which was courteous, but there was no heart love, and that made all the difference. On the other hand, by her deeds, the sinful woman showed her love and concern and gratitude towards Christ. Of course, the whole story is most challenging to every Christian here when we apply it to our hearts. The sacrifices that we make, the time that we devote, the money that we give, the tears that we shed, the second mile that we travel, all goes to demonstrate the love that we have in our hearts for the person of Christ, our Savior. And this is not what I'm preaching on tonight, but it ought to confront us nonetheless. When we think about our love, our dedication, our offerings, our time, the things that we do for Christ, the things that we do to Christ. And remember, Jesus teaches in his word that when we do it to the least saint, we do it to him. Those things, we are either like Simon, the Pharisee, or we are like this woman at the feet of the Savior. And the question really for the Christian tonight as you read a passage of Scripture like this is, do we really feel affection towards Jesus Christ? Can we say, as Peter had to say when he was challenged concerning his love to the Lord Jesus, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Because if we do not have proper love towards our Redeemer, the way that it should be, it may be that Jesus Christ wants to say to you and to me tonight, calling us to the side, just as he did to Simon, I have something, I have somewhat to say unto thee. The Lord would want to speak to us concerning that matter. And there's something else that we should learn in passing. Do not have a cold, unfeeling heart towards sinners like Simon had. There is a tendency to look down upon that class of sinful humanity who have gone astray into sins that you and I would never dream of committing. The adulterer, the drunkard, the drug addict, the gambler, the thief, the outcast of society. There is that temptation to pass them by, to ignore their plight, to criticize and view with disdain those poor wretches of society who have gone terribly wrong in life. They've taken a road that you and I wouldn't be seen dead on. That is to be like Simon the Pharisee, who hadn't the guts to say it out loud, but he spake within himself concerning this woman that toucheth him. My God, Jesus was the friend of sinners, and so should we. I'm glad tonight that this woman came to the Savior's feet. I'm glad that Jesus Christ permitted her to come near. And I'm glad to read this story of a woman who left his presence cleansed and forgiven and pure and at peace. Dear sinner, in this meeting tonight, if you have wandered far away from God, if you're down in the gutter of sin, if you've dabbled in impure, unholy deeds of sinful humanity, Jesus bids you come to him. He invites you for cleansing. And the good news is, he'll not turn you away. At the feet of Jesus, a woman with a sinful heart. Let's look at the passage before us. First of all, let me draw your attention to what we read in verse 37. Notice her condition, the condition of her heart. It says here, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. It is commonly accepted that this woman was an impure, unchaste woman. Yes, a harlot in her own time. She was known for a life of immoral behavior. It is agreed that she had been a notorious sinner against the seventh commandment that states clearly, thou shalt not commit adultery. She was a wicked, unclean woman, a prostitute who abused and dishonored her body in a way that was debased and despicable. The phrase that we read here, which was a sinner, could mean which used to be, in times past, a sinner. But it is unlikely that she had given up her life of immoral behavior a long time before this meeting that she had with Christ. How lately she had been living in sin, we do not know, but it is highly likely that this had been the kind of life that she was living right up until the very day when she met the Lord. It seems to me that she had just recently come to be ashamed of her immoral conduct, and in all likelihood had repented of her sin that very day through the teaching and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And now she is bringing her box of precious ointment to the Savior's feet in thanksgiving. Just to say, thank you, Lord. As we sung tonight, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Simon and the others probably have no knowledge of her change of heart, of her confession of sin, of her repentance. To them, she was still as vile and guilty a sinner as they knew her to be. Not that that really is vitally important. The fact of the matter is, they looked down. Simon and those who were with him, they looked down upon this woman. Her past sin was one of great sin, awful behavior, lustful, sensual deeds. But she finds the Savior. Jesus came, he said, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There were those who were so righteous or self-righteous that they could not be saved because they couldn't see their sin. Jesus came for sinners, he died for sinners, and it's not until a person recognizes their sin that they can ever come to know him as Savior. Is a man or a woman deep in the sins of this pleasure, crazy world? Down in the depths of carnal depravity? Addicted to the great vices and the deep sins of this world. And their sins can be described tonight as the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 1 verse 18 describes them, scarlet and crimson. Those colors that remind us of what it is to be deep dyed, a deep dyed sinner. Is there such a one tonight? It may even be possible that some here could be described in such a way in this meeting. Or maybe later on, listening to sermon audio. If God was to write up your life in summary, one little succinct phrase, he might very well say, as the Word of God tells us tonight, she was a sinner, he was a sinner, referring to great sin. But do not despair. Do not think for one moment that there's no hope. Do not believe the lie of the devil that your sin is too big or too obnoxious to be forgiven. Come to the feet of Jesus, for there's a place for you at his feet. There's room at the cross for thee. There's room at the cross for thee. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for thee. This was the condition of this woman prior to her conversion. She was a great sinner. Maybe that's you. But I want you to notice as you look again at our text, verse 37 and 38, I want you to notice the demonstration of her love. The woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and then wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. This woman, it would appear, has just been converted, probably that very day. It is very possible that Jesus Christ is still in the city of Nain. He had just raised the widow's son to life. We read about it in this chapter, in verse 11 through to verse 16. That must have been a marvelous spectacle. As Jesus was coming into the city, the dead body of this young man was being carried out. He was the only son of this mother who was leading the funeral procession. There were many people there. They had come to sympathize. They had come to lament. They had come to wail, as was the practice and the custom of the Jews. There was a great lamentation, no doubt, on that occasion. And Jesus meets death coming out of the city. There's never a time in the Bible where Jesus meets death, but he raises that individual to life. Death cannot remain in the presence of the living Savior. And Jesus Christ raised that young man. What a spectacle that must have been. Jesus stopped the funeral procession, put his hand upon the bier, as it's called, spoke to this young man, told him to arise. The young man sat up and he began to speak, the Bible tells us. What a wonderful thing. You were there, you would have realized how wonderful, how amazing that must have been. It reminds me of a preacher who was asked the question, what would you like people to say about you whenever you're dead? So over in America, they think that maybe the preacher would have been lying at the front in the casket, open casket. And he was asked the question, what do you want people to say about you? And he immediately, in a very witty way, replied, I would like them to say, I think I saw him moving. You know, well, that's what happened here. This man was dead, and he moved. He sat up, he began to speak. What a mighty miracle. Jesus Christ is probably still in the city of Nain. Listen to what verse 17 tells us. This rumor, the raising of this young man to life, this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Sick people were healed. Those who were possessed with devils were delivered. Verse 21 tells us, in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. This was a testimony to the fact of who Jesus was. A testimony to his deity. He was God. A testimony to his messiahship. That he was the one that the Old Testament foretold of. The one that God would send in the fullness of time. It is in this very place that John's disciples come with a pressing inquiry. You read it there at the end of verse 19. Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? The Lord heals these poor, sick, deformed, possessed, and feeble people. And this was to be taken as an answer to John concerning who he was. Verse 22, then Jesus answered, said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. These miracles were amazing. These miracles testified to his deity. They proved that he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God with power. Jesus says, go and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. I have no doubt in my mind that this sinful woman of Luke chapter 7 saw many of those things that we read about in this chapter. It must have made her think. She heard the gospel preached from the lips of God's dear Son and responded accordingly. She came to repent of her sin. She came to trust him, to venture all upon him as the Savior. That same day, Jesus is invited into the home of Simon to dine. In those days, guests did not sit at the table the way that you and I would sit to eat, but reclined on sloping couches around three sides of a table with servants in the middle, in the center, serving. The guests usually rested on their left elbow, that left their right hand to eat and to enjoy the meal that had been provided. Their feet extended towards the end of the couch. During the meal, the sandals of the guests were removed. And often a dining room was separated from the street only by a curtain. It was entirely permissible for passers-by to peer in upon the meal and to listen to conversations that were taking place, especially when a rabbi or some great important person came to dine in a home. And this made it easy for the woman of this incident to be at the feet of Jesus. In she comes, forgiven, having obtained mercy, her heart full of worship and thanksgiving, she carries in her hands her box of ointment. Standing at the feet of Jesus, the tears streaming down her face, she washes his feet with her tears, she wipes them with her hair, she kisses his precious feet repeatedly, and she pours upon them her costly perfume. What was she doing? What was she showing? What was this dear woman saying? Well, I'll tell you, in the words of the chorus that we sang tonight, I believe she was saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. For this woman had recently been converted. What we read about in this little narrative, the actions of this woman, demonstrate her deep love for the person of Jesus Christ. Her weeping, the washing of his feet with tears, the drying of them with her hair, the pouring of the precious ointment over those blessed feet are all displaying the woman's heart that was filled with love for the Savior. I wish I could come to the feet of Christ physically. I wish that I could wash his feet with my tears and pour upon those blessed feet precious ointment. I can't do that in a physical sense tonight. But in a very real way, I can still come to the feet of Jesus Christ. Feet that walked the scene of time for me. Feet that took my Savior into many places and situations as he went about doing good. Feet that walked that rugged road to Calvary. Feet that were pierced with those Roman spikes. Feet, my friends, that perpetually remind us of the suffering, sin-bearing Savior. He showed them his hands and his feet after his resurrection, coming and standing in the midst of the disciples. He showed them the marks of the cross in his risen, glorified body. And I believe that Jesus Christ still has those marks today. Indelible wounds of the cross. This woman loved the Lord. Why did she do what she did? What did it all mean? What was she saying? Think of the sacrifice. Think of the expense. Think of the willingness to do what she did. She was showing her love to the Savior. And all Simon could do was to criticize. Just like many people today, by the way, when others show their love for the Savior. But Jesus knew his thoughts. He didn't speak it out loud. He said it in his heart. But Jesus knew what he was saying, as he knows the heart of everyone in this meeting tonight. He not only hears what you say audibly, but he hears what you think. And he heard what this man thought in his mind, in his heart. And listen to what Jesus says. Verse 40, Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? And then he has all these things to say in the verses that follow. And when you read verse 37, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Notice, she loved much. She loved much. Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you love him much tonight? Do you really love him? Speak of the Christians here. Do you love the Lord? My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I love thee. My Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I think that we need to pray tonight, oh God, lead me to the feet of Christ. Help me to love him with all my heart, with warm, earnest feelings of true devotion and adoration, and help me to show that love the way that this woman showed her love. And sinner, I ask you the same question. Do you love Jesus tonight? He left the splendor of celestial light and glory, came into this sin-cursed world. He dwelt among wicked men whose hearts were filled with hatred and enmity. He performed many mighty miracles. He preached the message of hope and peace and forgiveness. He faithfully warned of a lost hell where men suffer forever and warned men to flee from wrath to come. He spoke about the beauty of heaven and proclaimed that He alone was the way to heaven. As far as the Father's house and the many mansions were concerned, He says, I am the way, the only way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was taken by wicked hands, beaten and bruised, spat upon and derided, crowned with thorns and lifted up there upon the cross of Calvary to die. And there upon that cruel cross a fountain was opened, a fountain of precious blood, when Jesus died the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. Do you love Jesus tonight, dear sinner in this meeting? Why do you not come to Him? Why do you not turn from your sin? Why do you not lay hold upon Him by faith? Why do you stay at a distance? Oh, come. Come to the feet of the Savior. Say to Christ, take my life. I now repent of my sin. I come to Thee. I take Thee as my Savior. This woman did. And she comes to the feet of the Savior to say, my Jesus, I love Thee. And then, just quickly in closing, notice the salvation of her soul. Verse 47 again, Jesus says in this passage of Scripture to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Verse 48, and He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. In verse 50, He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. How blessed are these words. There is no doubt whatsoever concerning this woman's forgiveness and pardon. Jesus says to Simon, her sins which are many are forgiven. And He turns to the woman. He knew her heart. He knew her repentance. He knew her faith. He knew her love. Jesus knows all things. And as He looked at her, and as He felt the love that she had, Jesus said to her, thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. What a day. What a glorious day. A day never to be forgotten. This woman was saved. She was saved by faith. That's what Jesus says. Thy faith has saved thee. Jesus didn't look at her and say to this woman, thy love has saved thee. Or thy tears have saved thee. Or thy sacrifice, this precious ointment that she brings, has saved thee. No, He says, thy faith has saved thee. It's not our love that saves us. It's not our sacrifices that save us. It's not the things that it's not anything that we could ever do that saves us. As in the rest of Scripture, faith is the key to salvation. By faith, this woman responded to the Lord's invitation, come unto me, and I will give thee rest. By faith, she embraced that invitation. By faith, she cast off her sins, which for many years had burdened her. By faith she came with boldness to the Pharisee's house that day and confessed by her conduct that she had found peace in Christ. Only Jesus can forgive sin. Only He has the power to forgive sin. Only Jesus can cleanse the sinner and purify the heart and wash our crimson sins away. Only Jesus can give peace, real peace, lasting peace. And He can do this for you in this meeting tonight. You can leave this house of God cleansed. You can go home sealed by grace with the peace of God reigning in your heart. You can have that assurance of mercy and salvation no matter what your background has been. You might be like this sinful woman. You might, on the other hand, be like the self-righteous Pharisee. But the need is the same. You need to come to Jesus Christ for mercy. You must believe in Him. You must exercise faith in Christ alone. Jesus says, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And that promise remains as sure and as steadfast today as when it first fell from His lips. You never need despair. Jesus can save you. If you come to Him, He'll not turn you away. May you come to see yourself as you really are. That's what's needed. if ever you're going to be saved. May you come and see that there's hope for you in Christ and in Christ alone. And may you turn and seek Him as your Lord and as your Savior this very night.